President of the Republic. It is a pleasure to have you here with us at the Assembly of the Republic, the Portuguese Parliament. Thank you for joining us yet again at this award ceremony of the North-South Prize of the Council of Europe. Madam Deputy Speaker of the House, Madam Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Madam President of the Executive Committee of the North-South Center, Madam President of the Administrative Court, MPs, Vice President, ambassadors, representatives of the diplomatic corps, ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to you all. Welcome to this award ceremony. It is very important for this parliament to host this award ceremony. It's an annual award of the Council of Europe, which distinguishes two people or institutions that stand out because of their contribution to peace and human rights. I will now, without further ado, give the floor to the chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Center, Madam Ambassador Francesco Camilleri Vettiga.
President of the Portuguese Republic, President of the Assembly of the Republic of Portugal, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, distinguished parliamentarians of the Portuguese Assembly, distinguished laureates of the North-South Prize, Executive Director of the North-South Center, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I feel deeply honored to participate for the first time in this ceremony. As Chairwoman of the Executive Committee of the North-South Center of the Council of Europe, I cannot but express sincere gratitude to the Portuguese authorities for their unwavering support to the North-South Center and for hosting us once again this annual North-South Prize ceremony in such a prestigious setting. Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much.
The North-South Prize of the Council of Europe is a symbol of recognition for individuals and organizations whose exceptional efforts have contributed to the promotion of the Council of Europe's fundamental values of human rights, democracy, and the rule of law, and honors those who are particularly dedicated to the betterment of society within countries or across borders, and our laureates today are a clear example of each. In a context of geopolitical turmoil and rising climate insecurity, the 2022 North-South Prize recognizes the paramount work of the Association of Ukrainian Cities and of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. Before the brutal war of aggression by Russia against Ukraine started, the Association of Ukrainian Cities, founded over 30 years ago, was already a driving force in the decentralization reform and in building local democracy in the country. Since the start of this aggression, Ukrainian cities have not only been an example of fortitude, of courage, and of bravery, but also proof that solidarity and cooperation begins locally. Today, the Association of Ukrainian Cities plays a leading role in responding to the urgent needs of Ukrainian municipalities. It provides them with basic services, humanitarian aid, and support for families, while starting the long-run work towards restoration. It also cooperates with the civil military administration to ensure that draft laws regulating the functioning of local authorities are fully aligned with the provisions of the European Charter of Local Self-Government, thus upholding democratic values even in times of war. Mr. Vadim Boychenko, testimonies like yours illustrate the hardships being faced by Ukrainian mayors in the ongoing illegal, unprovoked, and unjustified war of aggression against your country. Today's prize pays tribute to the commendable efforts and resilience of the Association in these challenging times, while we share a united message of solidarity and support with you and with all those affected by the brutal aggression that continues to be waged by Russia. Our second laureate, the IPCC, with its rigorous research, has been at the forefront of shaping our understanding of our planet's future. The findings of its most recent report, the sixth assessment report, are sobering. Sobering, but not surprising. This report concludes that human influence is unequivocally causing climate change, that climate change is affecting every inhabited region in the world, and yet those who have contributed least to it are being disproportionately affected. It is a call for action to prevent the loss and damages we will continue to face if we do not act fast. We have all seen just this year how the extreme weather events have been more frequent and intense, from floods, droughts, landslides, wildfires to heavy storms, which have wreaked havoc from north to south, making it harder for communities to cope, adapt, and rebuild, especially in conflict-affected areas. Taking the right action now and in close cooperation within countries and between and across borders could result in the transformational change we need to survive. And so today's award of the North-South Prize to the IPCC, through you, Professor Jim Ski, is a reminder of the transformative power of science and the recognition of IPCC's dedication to the pursuit of truth, dissemination of knowledge, and promotion of a sustainable and equitable future for all. Both the ramifications of the war of aggression against Ukraine and the consequences of climate change affect us all, but not equally. And so there is a need to come together and bridge our differences. And that is what makes this prize so relevant, as the North-South Center has a long experience and a strong commitment to bridging divides and raising awareness about global interdependence, cooperation, and solidarity. With our recently adopted new strategy, the Center intends to intensify these efforts further to ensure greater engagement and stronger cooperation with neighboring regions and to share the Council of Europe values, standards, and tools beyond European borders. And as we celebrate and congratulate you both, distinguished laureates, let us take this opportunity to reflect on our shared responsibility as representatives of international organizations, governments, parliaments, local and regional authorities, civil society, and ultimately as global citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the former president of Portugal, Mário Soares, also a former laureate of the North-South Prize, who once said, "Only those who give up fighting are defeated." So thank you for not giving up, and thank you for being an inspiration to us all to do our part for a better future. I thank you for your attention.
Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much. I will now give the floor to Madam Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Maria Burić.
President of the Portuguese Republic, President of the Assembly, Vice President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, distinguished parliamentarians, distinguished laureates of the North-South Prize, Chairwoman of Executive Committee of the North-South Center, Executive Director of the North-South Center, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends. It is a great pleasure to be here for this happy occasion. I began by thanking the Portuguese authorities for hosting the North-South Center, which does so much good, raising awareness of global interdependence, ensuring international solidarity, and promoting and protecting human rights, democracy, and the rule of law within Europe's border and outside them, among countries that share common values. I also thank the authorities for supporting the North-South Prize. Its laureates have excelled into putting these values into practice, making a positive difference to the lives of citizens, and in turn, inspiring others by showing what can be achieved. Today, two more prize winners join the ranks of now North-South laureates, and I congratulate them with all my heart. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is the outstanding authority in its field. It provides governments around the world with facts and scientific research, which authorities are free to channel into evidence-based policy, so that they can act against climate change and prevent harms to human rights. The IPCC is our North Star as we try to steer a path out of the current climate crisis. It's fitting to say at this time of the year that wise people follow it. I'm pleased that its chair, Jim Scheer, is here today to accept the North-South Prize on behalf of its entire and magnificent team. Equally commanding of our respect is the Association of Ukrainian Cities. For over 30 years now, it has advocated for local authorities, the decentralization of power, and building democracy from local level up.
But it is in these most difficult times for Ukraine that the value and resilience of the Association of Ukrainian Cities are particularly visible. Its role in strengthening Ukraine's legislative framework for local self-government, in supporting the integration of internally displaced persons within their own country, and in amending the electoral code so that they can vote in local elections. All these measures have borne fruit. The Association of Ukrainian Cities has also worked with the civil military administration to ensure that the laws on local government are aligned with the provisions of the Charter of Local Self-Government, even in times of war. It has raised awareness of the plight of Ukrainian local government leaders taken by the Russian army. It has also played a leading role in ensuring that humanitarian aid reaches those who most need it, notably through the Cities for Cities platform, supported by the Congress of Local and Regional Authorities of the Council of Europe. Ukraine's mayors have done a remarkable job for those they represent and for the country as a whole throughout the current conflict. And we are honored by the presence here today of the mayor of Mariupol, Vadim Boychenko, who will receive the North-South Prize on behalf of the Association of Ukrainian Cities. The impact of climate change and how it develops and the brutal, illegal, and ongoing war against Ukraine are two very different crises. Yet, each of these crises is leading to the destruction of homes and of communities, to the displacement of people, and to the deaths of innocent people. Each one of these crises violates human rights and calls on each and every one of us to do what we can to help. In May, European leaders met in Reykjavik for the Summit of Heads of State and Government of the Council of Europe. The Reykjavik Declaration, agreed upon, promises action on a number of pressing matters. Notably, there was progress in putting in place new legal instruments on human rights and on the environment, and also in supporting our dear member state, Ukraine, in particular through a new register of damage, which will record the losses and damage suffered on the ground. A necessary first step toward a compensation mechanism, an international compensation mechanism, which will play its part in holding Russia accountable for its crimes. Europe and the rest of the world, both North and South, face a whole range of challenges today. But these are the most important of them all. It is right that we act, and that we recognize and thank those who are on the front line. The IPCC and the Association of Ukrainian Cities are therefore the worthy winners of this year's North-South Prize. Once again, congratulations to our laureates. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I will now give the floor to the head of the delegation of the Assemblée de la République, Portuguese Parliament, to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Madam MP, Deputy Chair, in representation of the President of the Parliamentary Assembly. You have the floor. President of the Portuguese Republic, President of the Assembly of the Republic, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, Deputy Minister of Parliamentary Affairs, Ambassadors, members of the Diplomatic Corps, MPs, laureates, excellencies. Allow me, on my own behalf and on behalf of the President of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Tony Cox, greet and congratulate the 2022 laureates, the Association of Ukrainian Cities and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. A year ago, we honored the COVAX mechanism, which helped save lives in pandemic times, and also the Afghan activist Zarifa Ghaffari, who stood out in her fight for freedom and equality. The world has changed significantly since then. We know the media agenda to be volatile. We wanted to forget the pandemic, but we don't want to forget the struggle of Afghan and Iranian women. And we cannot ignore the suffering of Ukrainian, Israeli, and Palestinian women and children. Children and women have the right to live without violence and in freedom, and they have the right to the protection of their fundamental rights. From where I'm sitting, I look at my country, I look at the world, I look at Europe, and I don't like everything I see. I see a war in the Middle East in addition to the war in Ukraine. Both bring us images of destruction and slaughter all over the world. I see misinformation, I see selfishness, I see inequality fueling hatred, populism, and the extreme right. In this context of danger and uncertainty, I find it even more worrying to see what is rare and enviable political and social stability being sacrificed at the altar of unknown powers. We came out of the pandemic and returned to the fast, selfish, and consumerist pre-pandemic pace. Contrary to the expectations of some, the me has not become a we, quite the contrary. In many parts of the world, anything serves as a pretext to undermine the rule of law and ignore human rights. The war in Ukraine has underscored the importance of multilateralism, of acting in unity and solidarity. Solidarity among family members, neighbors and friends, solidarity among cities, regions, countries. Ours is an eminently urban civilization, which is why talking about cities means talking about people's lives. There's a relationship of interdependence. The very origin of the words identifies them as indelibly interlinked. In the etymological and most restrictive sense of the term, a citizen is one who lives in the city. Baudelaire used to say that the shape of a city changes faster than the mortal heart. In normal times, cities transfigure. They take and lose shape. In times of war, the destruction of a city not only destroys what is built, it also destroys families, affection, lives. The actions of the Association of Ukrainian Cities, which has spared no effort to ensure the reception and integration of displaced people and defend democratic values, has been decisive in the victory of Eros in the titanic battle against Thanatos. Excellencies, years upon years of environmental aggression have led to the overheating of the planet, climate change, and an increase in natural disasters. Climatologists indicate that 2023 will be the hottest year on record. What has happened this year, is happening this year, is but a taste of things to come, of the nightmare ahead. What lies ahead is rising sea levels, and this will cause coastal cities, islands to be submerged, resulting in millions of climate refugees. What lies ahead is an increase in armed conflict due to climate change. What lies ahead is an increase in human mortality and the extinction of many animal and plant species. Those in the know say that the climate crisis threatens all the progress made since the Second World War. We may complain about bats and mosquitoes and rats or pangolins, but it all starts with deforestation, says the Bolivian researcher who studies the relationship between the environment and emerging pathologies, and concludes that all the changes we impose on the planet will have repercussions on our health. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has played an extraordinary role. It was praised by the United Nations Secretary General, former Portuguese Prime Minister, at the opening of COP28. António Guterres never gave up and managed to get the phasing out of fossil fuels approved. Like him, I want to believe that the declaration that has been approved represents a turning point in the fight against climate change. As president of the Network of Parliamentarians for a Healthy Environment, I am pleased to recognize that my country is an example to be followed. In 2016, Portugal became the first country in the world to take on the goal of carbon neutrality by 2050, a goal that has already been brought forward to 2045. And it was also the first country in the European Union to present a national energy and climate plan up until 2030. We have drastically reduced greenhouse gas emissions and stepped up the fair and equitable transition to renewable energies. In 2021, Portugal closed its coal-fired power stations. And it has already brought forward the target of 80% renewable energy in power generation from 2030 to 2026. The approval of the European Climate Law during the Portuguese presidency of the Council of the European Union and the approval of the Framework Climate Law by the Portuguese Parliament in 2021 attest to Portugal's ambitions in the fight against climate change. Natural resources are finite. Nature can only take so much, just as Richard III at the end of Shakespeare's homonymous play was willing to trade his kingdom for a horse. We too may end up going so far as to want to trade the material goods we currently find indispensable for drinking water and clean air. We need more ambition, more funding, more responsibility. Good intentions and good speeches will not save lives. Nature provides solutions to many problems, but nature will only look after us if we look after it. What's more, as a great Indian chief used to say, the earth does not belong to us. We borrow it from our children, so we have an obligation to defend and preserve it. Thank you very much.
Muito obrigado.
Thank you very much. We will now award the prize to both laureates, respectively, His Worship the Lord Mayor of Mariupol, Vadim Boychenko, representing the Association of Ukrainian Cities, and President Jim Ski from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. I hereby invite His Excellency the President of the Republic to actually hand over the award, for which we should carefully climb down the stairs. Their Excellencies, the President of the Republic and the Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament will now hand over the North-South Prize of the Council of Europe 2022 to the representative of the Association of Ukrainian Cities, His Worship the Lord Mayor of Mariupol, Vadim Boychenko. Their Excellencies, the President of the Republic and the Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament will now hand over the North-South Prize of the Council of Europe 2022 to the Chair of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Mr. Jim Ski.
Para o discurso de agradecimento, dou
I would now like to ask His Worship, the Lord Mayor of Mariupol and representative of the Association of Ukrainian Cities, Vadim Boychenko, to please take the floor.
Good afternoon, dear ladies and gentlemen, dear Mr. President of the Republic, dear Speaker, dear ladies and gentlemen, members of Parliament, members of the Diplomatic Corps. For me, this is especially special honor to be here and to be at this time. I would also like to emphasize that this is a great responsibility that I have today. Today, I am receiving this award, not for myself, but award for our heroic people of Ukraine that is fighting today for our freedom and for our independence. Today, it's a great common responsibility that we have, because today our communities feel this bloody war. On behalf of the Association of Ukrainian Cities, on behalf of every Ukrainian, every community of Ukraine, every city that every day suffers from this war, I want to thank you, to thank the Council of Europe, to thank the European community, to thank all of our partners who are supporting us today in our right to fight for our independence, for our common freedom, for the values that we all have in our parliaments, the values of democracy, the values of peace, the values of life. Today, I also want to thank those partners who recognize the huge work that the Association of Ukrainian Cities is doing today. And I, as the mayor of a section of the Association of Ukrainian Cities that have been, the cities that have been destroyed, occupied, or liberated, I represent more than 1,000 communities, that 90% of all Ukrainians. Today, the fight continues. We are fighting for dignity, for the values of our European community. Today and every day, we receive news on our cell phones about the air raid alarms that sounds in every city of Ukraine. Sometimes we wake up today, not when the alarm clock rings in our cell phones. We wake up because of the air raids or because of this feeling of war, of the missiles coming to Ukraine. Every day today, our communities feel what this war is, what, how unfair and unjust is this. Today we have the cities that may seem as if they did not exist at all. And I represent such a city today, the destroyed city of Mariupol. That means destroyed life. The destroyed city of Bakhmut, Volnovakha, Avdiivka, and more communities that are demanding justice today. And they are asking you, our European community, not to stop in this common fight of ours. Today, I want to deliver just one thought to you for our common objective. I'm asking you, I'm pleading, so we would not stop in our fight. The fight for the values that we invest in our joint European future, the values that are called peace, dignity, law, and freedom. We ask you not to stop in this war, at the diplomatic front, at the military level, and different other levels. Today, Ukraine is fighting. Today, we're paying the highest price. Today, our best boys and girls are fighting, combating for our independence, and they're giving the most precious thing that they have, their lives away, their health. Today, Ukraine is also fighting by developing its post-war vision of renaissance, of recovery. But we also understand that we have to reach the main goal. You know, we have all seen a recent interview by President Zelensky, our commander-in-chief, and the interview of President Biden. There was a very important question asked by Ukrainian journalists. It's the question that we have to feel, and each of us has to answer this question. Ukraine, in this terrible war, still must not lose. It has to win. It sounds like it's the same thing, but the difference is very big. And I can tell you with certitude that today, thanks to our president, President Zelensky, thanks to our armed forces of Ukraine, thanks to our people, we have not lost already. But the question for our common victory, the victory of democracy over this darkness called the Russian Federation, that's our common responsibility. It's a question we have to ask ourselves, each of us, and to answer it. Are we winning or are we just not losing? Today, we're not waiting until the war is over. Jointly with the Association of Ukrainian Cities, we are getting ready for the post-war recovery. This is very important. It is a very difficult and complicated and even new kind of work for us. But it's also common responsibility, this post-war recovery. Today we just want one thing, to jointly with you, so we can form a very important expertise for Ukraine, the vision of what the world of Ukraine will look like after the victory, what the role of Ukraine will be in this global world. We have the answer today. We want to reach it. We want to become a part of the big and great European family. And in the same way, there is a question about when the war will be over, when the victory will come. It may come about tomorrow, if today Ukraine joins NATO. It looks very simple, but it's a challenge for all of us. It's a question we have to bring up every day. Today, Mariupol is an example. Today, we have gathered the most important thing, the community. Yes, it's the evacuated community, which seemed impossible. People are scared, destroyed, damaged. They left for the main territory of Ukraine with their desire of justice. Today, thanks to the Association of Ukrainian Cities, we have opened up centers to support Mariupol residents. 200,000 Ukrainians from Mariupol are getting dignified support in the center. It's called I Am Mariupol. We are 17 of them. We have 25 of them in 17 cities and towns of Ukraine. They're working so life comes back, socialization, adaptation. We've heard about very important integration today, but it's also important to understand that, to give hope to the Mariupol community, to the community of Bakhmut, Volnovakha, Avdiivka, Mariinka, and other cities and towns that almost do not exist anymore. The hope for recovery, and today a good example, is the joint position of the European cities that have also joined forces around the project Mariupol Reborn. And today we're getting this very important expert support that we have in Europe. The cities that have been reborn after the Second World War, such cities as Warsaw, Wrocław, Gdansk, Utrecht, Rotterdam, Dresden, Hover, Brussels, they are ready to share this very important expertise. It's very important for us to join forces and to think about the consequences that we've discussed with the professor, even the downcomes from consequences of the environmental disaster that is also taking place in Ukraine today. It has not been studied yet, and that's huge responsibility again, the post-war recovery. And today I'm calling upon all of you to get together for the sake of Ukraine's rebuilding, recovery, the recovery of democracy, the recovery of life, dignity, and law. I am convinced that the darkness that has come to us against Ukraine, that is called the aggression of the Russian Federation, it will end, because Ukraine is a ray of sunshine. That's light, and light always wins. Ukraine will definitely win. Democracy will definitely win. Europe will definitely win. The world will definitely win. We, together with you, we all will win. Thank you for attention, and glory to Ukraine.
Thank you very much. I would now like to give the floor to the chair of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, Mr. Jim Ski, if you please, sir.
The stairs, please.
Your Excellency, President of the Republic, Mr. Speaker, Madam Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Madam Chair of the Portuguese Delegation to the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, distinguished Members of Parliament, Chairwoman of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, and distinguished co-laureate representing the Association of Ukrainian Cities, members of the Diplomatic Corps, ladies and gentlemen. I speak to you today representing the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. As its chair, it's a great professional privilege and a personal honour to receive the North-South Prize of the Council of Europe in the name of the thousands of scientists who've contributed to IPCC's work over the last 35 years. I should also acknowledge the Ukrainian scientists who continued to contribute to IPCC's work during virtual meetings under the most extraordinarily difficult circumstances. Our scientists have generously contributed their expertise and their time to deliver the most important and authoritative scientific assessment of our planet's climate, laying out pathways for adaptation and means of mitigating climate change. Our assessment reports deliver up-to-date, robust scientific findings, and they can empower policymakers in all countries and at all levels to shape climate policies and climate action. For us, today's prize is an important recognition of this collective and truly global undertaking. One that brings together scientists from developing and developed countries to jointly assess the science related to climate change. And we are grateful to the jury for recognizing this. Thank you. The unique recognition comes on the back of the 28th Conference of Parties to the UN's Framework Convention on Climate Change in Dubai, which concluded just 24 hours ago. There, reports from the IPCC's most recent assessment cycle fed directly into the global stocktake, the first critically important assessment under the 2015 Paris Agreement of the progress countries have made in addressing climate change. The path-breaking references to transitioning away from fossil fuels builds directly on IPCC's work. Climate change science plays a pivotal part in determining the outcome of negotiations between 198 member states. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of science is clear. Its message is unequivocal. Climate change is caused by human activities, it is widespread, it is rapid, and it is intensifying. The changes that we witness are of a magnitude unprecedented over centuries and even thousands of years. Every part of the world is affected, and some impacts, such as the continued rise in sea levels, are irreversible. Current trends in greenhouse gas emissions and climate action are incompatible with a sustainable, equitable world. Over a century of burning fossil fuels, deforestation and unsustainable use of resources has led to global warming of 1.1 degrees Celsius. As a result, we witness greater and more frequent temperature extremes and more intense and more extreme weather events. Climate change is an imminent threat to the health of our planet, our livelihoods and our well-being, and indeed the very existence of other species sharing this world with us. It's an existential threat for small island states and low-lying coastal areas. It warrants an urgent response. Losses and damages inflicted by climate change are now a reality and part of our future. Scientific evidence also clearly shows that those who are most vulnerable to the effects of climate change contribute and have contributed the least to warming. The lives and livelihoods of over 3 billion people living across large parts of Africa, South Asia, Central and South America, small islands, and the Arctic are threatened. And as is obvious, these are mainly in the global south. And given global interdependence and the defense of global solidarity and partnership recognized by the prize we are receiving today, this is a particularly relevant point. Only deep, rapid, and sustained reductions of greenhouse gas emissions across all sectors can limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius in this century. In our most recent reports, we showed that the only way to keep this goal within reach is to cut emissions by almost half by 2030, just 6 years away, and reaching net zero carbon dioxide emissions in mid-century. But science can also deliver a message of hope. Our actions now can make a difference for hundreds and thousands of years. We cannot afford to be paralyzed by the complexity and the scale of the challenge. We do have the agency to determine the future for ourselves and for the generations coming after us. The next few years will be critical, and there are ways to improve our chances of success. We have the technologies, the tools, and the knowledge required to limit global warming. It is encouraging that more and more countries are taking climate action. Some countries and cities have already shown what is possible and have experienced sustained emissions reductions. These have begun to bend the trend in the emissions curve, even if we have yet to see a peak in global emissions. But all of these efforts, policy development and implementation, legislation, institution and capacity building, financing, the adopting of renewable energy sources and new technologies need to be mainstreamed and scaled up worldwide. We live in diverse societies in a diverse world, and we have common but differentiated responsibilities and opportunities to bring about these changes. Some can do a lot, while others need support to help them manage the change. Transformative changes are more likely to succeed where there is trust, where everyone works together to prioritize risk reduction, and where benefits and burdens are shared equitably. This will be possible only if climate action is and is perceived to be genuinely and fundamentally fair and inclusive. Ladies and gentlemen, the vision for IPCC during the remainder of this critical decade for climate action is clear. We will use the best available science to deliver focused, policy-relevant reports and provide timely and actionable information to policymakers. And to achieve these goals, we are sparing no effort to ensure a truly inclusive, diverse, and representative IPCC. As we start on our new cycle of assessments, the seventh cycle, we are committed to ensuring a balance of opportunity, a balance of responsibility, and a balance of recognition. It means ensuring that the ranks of our authors are representative, both across and within regions. It means a balance between developed and developing countries. And the way we conduct our assessment activities can help build academic and scientific capacity among underrepresented regions and nations. It also means a balance between women and men, and we will continue to encourage our governments to nominate more women scientists. Lastly, we are expanding efforts to bring into the fold and formalise roles for early career scientists from developing countries as IPCC chapter scientists. And we are fostering opportunities to build a network of early career scientists through engaging the current cohort of IPCC scholarship recipients. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, science is and will remain the foundation of efforts to tackle climate change. For all IPCC scientists, national focal points and staff, today's prize is an important acknowledgement and encouragement, and for that, we are extremely grateful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will now kindly ask the President of the Republic to please take the floor. Mr. Speaker, Deputy Speaker of the Portuguese Parliament, and with us on behalf of the Speaker of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, Secretary General of the Council of Europe, Chair of the Executive Committee of the North-South Centre, distinguished laureates, chairs and representatives of parliamentary groups and single members of parliament, Minister in charge of Parliamentary Affairs, Ambassadors, Your Excellencies. We live in a unique moment in time. Unique to begin with because of the place where we find ourselves, the House of Portuguese Democracy, hence my starting by paying tribute to the Speaker and through you, sir, the Portuguese Parliament, and in you, the distinguished chairmanship that you have ensured both internally and externally throughout your term of office. Other than the place, the institution itself, and that brings us all here, the Council of Europe, an institution with a past, with a present, with a future. Born after the horrors of World War II, with a view to building peace, with a view to building rule of law, affirming human rights, liberty, democracy, peaceful coexistence in Europe and between Europe and the world, with the past, therefore, but also very much with the present. And allow me to pay a tribute, madam, through your good self, the way in which you have carried out your remit at a particularly difficult point in time, marked by pandemics, marked by the war in Ukraine, by the recent developments in the Middle East, by a climate marked by greater distance and smaller tolerance than by a full understanding of the goals and remit of the Council of Europe. But the Council of Europe also has a future, and you, madam, also bear that future, not just of the past and present, in what you stand for, in what the continuity of the efforts carried out by the Council of Europe stand for. Because Europe has a future. Europe is pivotal when it comes to the balance of power globally, but it is only pivotal because it stands for democracy, for liberty, for the rule of law. And therefore, it has a role to play in reconstructing the future we all aspire to. And we're here at the behest not just of the Council of Europe, but also of the North-South Centre, which was born to materialise, which today sounds pretty obvious, but wasn't when the foundation took place, to open up Europe to a seemingly close by, but actually distant global world, to foster dialogue, empathy, understanding, starting by what was closest to us, the Mediterranean, and then looking further afield, southwards and eastwards, covering neighbouring continents, but also those that, albeit further away, stood for a different contribution, equally important, to North-South dialogue. And the centre, which one might have thought had served its purpose, and was no longer up to the spirit of present times. The recent geopolitical changes confirmed the topical nature of such North-South dialogue. What goes on in the North, be it Europe or Northern America, vis-a-vis what goes on in other continents or subcontinents further to the south. Understanding that the war in Ukraine is neither a local nor a regional war, but a global one, and that challenges pertaining to climate, to sustainable development, are challenges that can only be faced based on North-South dialogue. And that's why the Portuguese pay tribute to the new strategic plan of the North-South Centre. The enlargement of the North to other Norths and of the South to a great many diverse, different realities, so as to be able to take further afield a remit which is ever changing. And then the award which is a symbol of that relationship between North and South. But this particular award, this year's award, is very much alive and with moving traits. Given to the Association of Ukrainian Cities. the recipient thereof, His Worship the Lord Mayor of Mariupol, just told us that his and our war in Ukraine we can't afford to lose that war. We cannot exchange values and principles for time. And not to be able to afford to lose it also implies reconstruction from the bottom up. And who better than local authorities to understand what it implies to rebuild a country which has been destroyed? To start at the level of basic needs, to welcome displaced individuals back, to foster economic dynamics, and more than that, to structure a new transitional emergency local authority system, to move from the different stages in the war to the post-war stage. Who better than this new generation of Ukrainians with their allies to materialize what is crucial for this war not to be lost? A war is not just won on the battlefield, but also on the human, social, economic, cultural planes. And that's why this award is one that stands for our solidarity, North and South, vis-a-vis a war that we cannot afford to lose. But the other war that we can't afford to lose either is what underpins the second laureate of today. Nor can we afford to lose the war against climate change. But the first war, I hear you say, has concrete faces standing for what's going on a daily basis. So does the second award, the other award, in day-to-day victims falling prey to natural disasters that afflict the universe, sometimes imperceptibly when they take place, but inevitable and inexorable. The first war is one that comes daily into our lives, in the life of the Speaker of the House, through a parliamentary delegation to Ukraine, where they were able to witness what we had just heard about, i.e. a war afflicting a territory every minute, every hour, every day, as the Prime Minister had done, and as I myself had the opportunity to do later on. But the other war, war against climate change, that second war is, that other war rather, is part of those that oftentimes are forgotten in day-to-day hassle and bustle, but we cannot afford to forget about them on a mid-long-term basis. Hence, the awarding of this prize to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is an award given to knowledge, to pedagogy, and to influencing decision-making, because in both cases, the decision is urgent. We must urgently go about reconstructing Ukraine. The world feels such an urgency. We feel equally, feel the urgency when it comes to reconstructing the world in light of devastation caused by climate change. And both urgencies come together in this year's awards, as they do when it comes to meeting appeals coming from all generations, particularly the younger ones. Those who lived in Ukraine on the ground this war understand that on top of everything else, it's also a generational war, old versus new worlds. Just like the climate war is a generational war too, old versus new worlds. The old world, the one which wanted us to look at this as not urgent, as something that we can postpone, to believe that climate change, just like the war in Ukraine, are not realities that we all share every day of our lives, and regarding which we cannot lose time. Portugal is happy to host this awarding ceremony of the prize, which from the word go, insofar as from the word go, we understood how urgent the war in Ukraine was and how urgent the reconstruction of the country was, and because we were amongst the pioneer within and without the European Union when it comes to climate action, fighting for energy transition, looking for cleaner energies, raising awareness when it comes to defining courageous, decisive targets that were not to be postponed. That's why we're all here, as mobilized as we are when it comes to those wars, and we feel sure that this prize stands for our joint undertaking, yours and ours, with our minds focused on what brings us together, not just Europe, not just North-South dialogue, but also affirming essential values for humankind. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We stand adjourned. Thank you for attending.